Well, I can speak loud enough where I don't need this, but it's good for the recording. And there are people that listen to those recordings, and sometimes I like to, with people, go, hey, you need to listen to this one, you need to listen to that one, and they're up on the website, and I would be happy to yell and work on my strong voice, but I'm thankful that I don't have to. I am also, when we worked on that last song, there was one member of the band who wasn't there when we were at practice, and that member was horrified that that we actually did what we did with that song, and it was, and we probably wouldn't have done it if they had been there. So if you liked it, you can think that God is sovereign. And if you didn't like it, you can put some other piece of theology in there. Why don't you turn to James 4? That's where we are. We've been in a series on the book of James since when? October? August? August. We will be in the book of James forever. No, we may. We're going to keep moving here. We will not be doing a huge chunk today, just a couple verses, but I'm looking forward to chapter 5, so we may just skip right there. We'll see. And I wanted to say something about what we're going to do here in the future a little bit. In a few weeks, and I'll let you know when it's coming, but in a few weeks, what I want to do is have some people share in our church some of the encouragements or place or the obedience steps or things that you have done because of the book of James. As we've walked through it, James has been very hard-hitting, very convicting. It's been sometimes we just have a passage and let it sit there until we've really chewed on it some, and that allows us to take it and put it in our lives and try to walk it out. And the reason we're going to have a time to just share a little bit how it's blessed us here is I understand that oftentimes having a quiet time or reading your Bible or coming to church is just a meal. Like, I don't remember every meal I've had. There just gives me sustenance. And man can't live without spiritual truths and spiritual reminders and a connection to the Spirit. And so you sing some worship songs and you come and we're in the Word, and it's just a meal. It's a meal for the day. It's a meal for the hour. It's a meal for the week. And you don't remember them all. I don't. It's also in a wider context, places that God wants us to be walking forward in our lives and growing toward Him. And having this time for me goes, yeah, there were obedience things that were in my head where I said I want to do this and I want to do that I never walked out. And they've been still back there. And if we go, well, yeah, we're going to have a time where we share like how it's encouraged us and where we're obeying. I feel like the first thing I do is I go, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do it. I'm going to walk it out. I'm going to put it in my life. I'm going to be different because we walk through this book together for a while. So we're going to put that on the calendar. It's been on my heart for a while. And of course, the book of James has been broken up. We stopped basically for 6 weeks through the month of December to do Christmas things and then after Christmas things. And you may not remember things, but there are things you do remember if you read it. There are teachings you'll remember, truths that are in there. And remember, our whole goal was to work them into us. And I just want to hear where God's done that. And I trust He has. I trust He has them. So we'll do that soon. But let's read our passage for today. Everybody else is in James 4, but I am not. Okay, verse 11. In verse 10, he talks about be humble. In verse 11, he says, Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. And there is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? And like all of James, it's pretty strong. So let's pray and ask God for grace. Thank you for the chance to praise you. Thank you to praise your name, God, to tell you are a cornerstone, to acknowledge before you that walking before you brings fear and trembling in deep waters. God, we want to look at you. And we want to look at you now, God, as a teacher that can help us in life. You have the words of eternal life. You have the ways to walk through the minefield that is of sin that is this place. And I thank you for the wisdom. Thank you for the roadmap, for the book. Thank you for you and all your authority and all who we are under your authority. And God, just personally, I come before you and I am humbled. God, there are reasons this teaching is hard for me. Reasons in my own life and circumstances going on around me. And so, Lord, I just pray for your grace to be over this communication. And may your Spirit be with each of our hearts. And I thank you for the chance to be here together in this word from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Well, John 3:16 used to be the most quoted verse. But it is no longer the most quoted verse. And the reason it's not the most quoted verse is because of Matthew 7:1. Does anyone know what Matthew 7:1 says? Yeah! That is the most quoted verse in America. Judge not, lest you be judged. I'm gonna share a couple things that I'm fearful of, a couple things that this passage does not say in James. When Jesus says, judge not lest you be judged, 5 verses later, he says, do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine. He's talking about people who are dogs and swine. That's crazy. He's talking about judging, but he's like, that guy over there, he's swine. That guy, that's a dog. And to even obey this verse, you have to make decisions about a person's character, who they are. If you keep reading in the passage, in verse 15 of Matthew 7, Jesus says, beware of the false prophets who come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. It takes discerning, right? You have to discern to recognize, hey, that's not a true sheep, that's a wolf. It requires judging their teaching. So whatever we think James means by don't judge your brother, it has to fit with what Jesus said. Jesus said don't judge, but if Jesus said it, he didn't judge. And we have to make them come together, and one fear I have is that we won't discern that well in our own hearts. My second fear is what James says in chapter 5. He says this in verse 19 and 20. My brethren, if any among you strays from the truth, and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. So on a personal level, there's a responsibility of confrontation that we each have as a spiritual believer. Galatians 6:1 says, if anyone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. And when I think about who we are as a church and who we are together as a group of people, and how you are in the middle of your spheres of your closest relationships, I want nothing I say to diminish that responsibility that you have before God. These things that are true, how we discern this passage needs to fit with these. And I may or may not do that well, but God has a way through that. And I am. And those are my caveats. So, now that we're done with caveats, let's talk about the sin. Now, other versions of the Bible, instead of saying, speak evil of a believer, they will use the word criticize. And I like that word because I don't go around in my normal speech talking about speaking evil of. Criticize would be my normal vernacular. So let's talk about just people in this room. Do you criticize people in this room? Of course, we're supposed to love them, build them, encourage them, exhort them. But the people close to your life, the believers in your life, do you criticize them? Do we complain after we go to faith team or after our potluck at church? And what is being referred to here when it talks about speaking evil of? It's this careless talk about another, this sort of strays toward derogatory, idle talk, babble. And the people are not there. They're not there to defend themselves. They're not there to speak. And it's a breaking off of love, and it's outside of the attitude of humility. That is sort of the sin we're talking about. And what I thought about after I said this is what it's talking about, is I thought about four things that make this hard to do. And I want to walk through them really quick. And this is not for everybody, but if you're like this, this will be harder for you. So, this will be a challenge for you to not criticize and speak evil of believers if you like to talk about people. Now, I don't think it's wrong to talk about people. People talk about different things. People talk about things they do. People talk about ideas. People talk about other people. And if you talk about people, it may very well show that people are on your heart, that you're thinking about people, that you want good things for them. And there, I think there is a rich, God can bring that in a rich faith way as we try to help people. But if you talk about people a lot, you're going to have a harder time not criticizing them in your speech because you'll be in the danger zone more often of talking about people if you're oriented that way. Number two, this will be a challenge for you if you tend toward being negative. Now, there are different people that are different places on the scale. I know humans in general can tend this way. But if that's your demeanor, this will be hard. That negativity will have to change toward compassion and empathy and thankfulness and support of people. It'll just be hard not to criticize. Number three, this will be hard for you if you are discerning. If you're discerning and you're wise, you can see very easily how people should change for the better. And it can be some of the challenges of wisdom and discernment. Like if you have strong muscles, like physical muscles, you know, like me. No, stronger than me. Then the inherent weakness is that if you're not gentle, you break things. Lots of things. The bigger your muscles, the more you can break. The inherent weakness of being discerning and wise is you can see negative, and so you can tend toward negative. You become demanding and judging. Okay, and number four. This can be challenging if you are a leader. So if you sit in groups of people and as leaders, and you are trying to get a community somewhere, you're trying to get individuals to go to a place where they're trusting God, you are trying to get people places that would be really good for them if they went, and they don't go, it is very easy to be frustrated. And that frustration comes out talking to other people. And I have sat in different leader meetings and gone, the Spirit's not here in how we're talking about this person. Whether it's all true or not, it's not right. And I've done it, and I've been in places where it happens. And those are places where I go, if you're in these roles or you're like this, this is even more of a struggle for you. But I, this morning, just have 4 points. I feel like they're just a little random, and I'll go over them, so maybe you can grab one. A couple of them are about judging in general, and then there's a couple tied specifically to the passage. I know we've been trying to walk through word by word or verse by verse. But the first one, the first point is about judging, is take the log out. That's my first point. This is Matthew. This is Matthew 7. This is Matthew 7:1. Do not judge, so that you will not be judged. For by the standard you judge, you will be judged. And the measure you use will be the measure you receive. Why do you see the speck in your brother's eye, but fail to see the beam of wood in your own? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck of your eye? Well, there is a beam in your own, you hypocrite. First remove the beam from your own eye, and then you can see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. We all remember that passage because it's so vivid. Like, it's such a picture. Jesus is really good at saying stuff that you can remember. So what does that mean? I want you to picture for a moment that I go to a pastor's conference. So I'm at a pastor's conference, and there's a pastor, and he's there, and he, after one of the sessions, he walks outside, and he starts smoking. Now, I would assume that there would be people there that would judge him for that smoking. They would say, doesn't he know that his body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Now, at that same pastor's conference, there are people that will eat and be gluttonous. There are people who are overweight and haven't given any thought to exercise. There are people that are addicted. Certain things. Hopefully not illegal things at a pastor's conference. But some of those people may very well judge the person smoking. And what they need to do is they need to take the principle that they think about the person that's negative, and they need to take the principle and turn it around and have it stare at them. So the principle they cite is, doesn't the person know their temple? Their body is a temple. So if they were to take that and turn around, doesn't that person know that their body is a temple? And they go, oh, okay. Do I know my body is a temple? Does my diet, does my addictions, does my... And as they turn around and let it shine on them, they can be humble enough to go take the speck out. To go have a conversation with the person. What Jesus does not want us to do is to go have a conversation with the person and not let the principal stare us in the face. So what would you do? How would you react? Let's say we go to a conference at Christmas, big Faith Walkers conference, and the speaker speaks, you don't really know him, and you see him smoke afterwards, outside. What's your heart response? And can you take the principles and can you turn it around on you? Could you still go and restore him gently? Galatians 6:1. Humbly. And I think this is the idea that Jesus is saying here. Love does not tear down. Love builds up. Okay. So my first point is take the log out. Let the principal stare at you too. We're in brotherhood. That's my second point. We are in sisterhood. This is a brotherhood. This is a sisterhood. This is a hood. No, this is a family. Christ died for all of us. There's one Father in this room. There's one teacher. There's one Lord. We need to be careful how we treat others, because God is everyone's Father. I think about this all the time because I have young kids. So one kid says something really mean to another kid in my home. And I don't know what happened. I rise up in strength as a father and I go, you may not speak to your sister like that. Right? That's the spirit. You can't do that. And I've sat down and have a conversation with people. If you have that attitude toward your sister, you're going to make your sister's dad not very happy. But I'm your dad. I love you and I love them. And I think this passage is a little like that. This is Matthew 18:10-14. It says, see that you do not disdain one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If someone owns 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, will he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go look for the one that went astray? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he will rejoice more over it than over the 99 that did not go astray. Is there any more here? In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that one of these little ones be lost. Okay, so in that first line there, it says the word disdain. See that you don't do this. Don't disdain. And I go, okay, what? What does that say in other versions? What's that word? Don't look down on. Don't think little of. Don't have a scornful attitude. God doesn't have that attitude toward them. Even when they're straying. So God could have rightly judged me and you at salvation, but he didn't judge me and you. He was gracious, and he is still very gracious with his children in his heart, in his attitude. And so we are the same. We shall not disdain because he's the Father. Because we're brotherhood. MacArthur. Oh, I didn't write it down. MacArthur said this. If I see my fellow Christians as good, beloved children for whom the Savior died and for whom he really has planned eternity, if I see my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ as those who are eternally the loved ones of Jesus Christ and the beloved of God, if I see them as my brothers and sisters, as my fellow Christians to be protected and forgiven and nurtured and cared for, that's going to control how I talk about them. And that's the point. We need to control how we talk about them. And deepening your sense of solidarity with your brothers and sisters in Christ will help you in your control of your speech one to another. Okay. So take the log out. We're a family. Number three. James says this sin is serious. Let's read. I might have put this in here. Here's James 4. This is our passage. Do not speak against one another, brothers and sisters. He who speaks against a fellow believer or judges a fellow believer speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but its judge. But there is only one who is lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. On the other hand, who are you to judge your neighbor? So there's all this part about the law in here. You're like, okay, what's he saying? I want to ask you guys, what is the law summed up? What are the law and the prophets summed up? How would you sum them up? Okay. That is the summary of the law. So follow this. Since loving each other, right? Loving each other as brothers and sisters is God's law summed up. When we fail to love, we violate God's law. That's what he's saying. So when you speak evil of, when you slander your brother, you speak evil of and slander the law that forbids you to do it. You see that? When you condemn your brother, you condemn the law that forbids you to do that. And condemning the law, right, it just means you disregard it. The law isn't worthy of your attention, of you, or of you living under it. So if I'm criticizing someone, let's say to my wife after teen, I think about, okay, this is unloving to another person. But the law is basically the code that expresses all the factors of love. So when I speak disparaging things against my brother, I'm sinning against love, and since I'm sinning against love, I'm sinning against the law, which is summed up in love, right? So it's just... So he's not condemning backbiting like this is... You are sinning against kindness. That's not what James is doing. He's saying... I'm condemning violation. I'm condemning backbiting because it's a violation of the law, not a violation of kindness. It's a violation of the law. That is the serious point in James' mind. And he takes it further. So at the end of verse 11, which I didn't put the verse numbers on here, says, you are not a doer of the law, but its judge. You are effectively saying you are superior to the law of God. You are not under the law. You're not bound to the law. You're saying, I will not live by that law. God can't tell me what to do. I'm in charge. See what we've done when we do that? Is we climb up onto the bench where the judge sits. And we take a position above the law. We're in charge. I make myself more worthy than the law. I don't want to be under the law. That is my rightful place. I should be under the law. But I go, no. That's not the place I want. I want to go up here and be the judge. That's where James is going. And this guy wrote a book on sin, which I'm sure not a lot of people read. Just because books on sin aren't very popular. But he said this. The sinfulness of sin not only appears from, but consists in this. Sorry, this I took this from a teaching I read, and I didn't edit it apparently. That it is contrary to God. Indeed, it is contrariety and enmity itself. Carnal men or sinners are called by the name enemies of God. But the carnal mind or sin is called enmity itself. Accordingly, it and its acts are expressed by names of enmity and acts of hostility, such as walking contrary to God, rebelling against God, rising up against God, striving and contending with God, despising God, hating God, resisting God, fighting God, blaspheming God. And in short, it is atheism. It is saying there is no God. It goes about to ungod God. It is God murder. So what's it saying? It's saying, I'm not going to be under your authority. You're not going to be God. And when you say, I am not going to live under your authority, you're becoming authority of yourself, and you walk into this place where you are against God. You are resisting God. You become an enemy of God. It is the place Satan went to when he said, I don't want to be under you, God. And we do the same thing. And I think that's a little bit, you know, my wife asked me a question once. She's like, I don't get David when he says, God, against you and you only have I sinned. That's not true. He sinned against these people. Right? He sinned against Uriah. He sinned against Bathsheba. He sinned against a whole bunch of people. His whole kingdom. But see, if you view sin as this big, as God as that much in authority, then it becomes so deep, it's like all that other stuff is trite compared to I have sinned against God. I have become an enemy of God, against God and God only. Everything else is small potatoes. And the end of verse 12 is crazy too, a little convicting. That last sentence. On the other hand, who are you to judge your neighbor? Anytime anyone says, "Who are you?" I think of Job. Especially if it's God doing it. He's saying, "Who are you to be judge of all the earth?" Right? Can you hold water in the palm of your hand? Can you tear the cover off the darkness? Are you the Holy One? Are you the perfect one? Did you bring light into being? Who do you think you are? And what was Job's response? His response was to shut his mouth. And this is, I think, our response. Our response is to shut our mouth. Response is to go, "Okay, I will not take a position of judge that is yours. You are judge." And James' point here is just, hey, this is serious. Sin is serious here. And he's saying it, this sin is serious, but he makes a bigger point. He's saying that sin is serious. And it's good for us to connect into. That's point three. Point four. Why don't you jump to Ephesians in your Bibles? We'll read this together. We're going to read a chunk of this. This is the encouraging part, at least for me. Ephesians 4 is on page 828. We're going to start in verse 22. Actually, on 829. It says, "You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. For we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Jump up to the beginning of that paragraph, verse 29. We'll read that again. "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up, that it may benefit those who listen." You know, I looked up a bunch of words that would apply to building others up, that would apply to speaking things that would benefit other people. And I came up with a list for us to just think on. I think stopping this sin in our own mouths, our own tongue, our own heart, requires a reorientation of the goal of life. And that goal, not goal of life is too strong, but the goal of our communication toward other people, okay, will be to help people. Is the goal of our communication to other people. To nourish and sustain. To build people. Shape people. To further them. To better them. Advance them. Commend them. Acclaim and approve and applaud.
to boost up and support, speak highly of, you improve them, to be edifying, positive about them, enlighten them and uplift them, educate them. And we don't do this often because we can speak evil because we're not getting what we want. I'm not getting love. I'm not getting devotion. I'm not getting respect. I'm not. And so it is very easy because I'm not getting. But this is our goal. This is Jesus' goal for us. It's this heart. And it, you know, when I think about it, it can frankly not be our heart. I get stopped a little bit because it is our heart. This type of communication with other people is the new you. It was given at salvation. It is who you and I are. It's who we're meant to be. It's who we're going to be in heaven. And we can walk into it. We can put on that clothing now. The new you that was bought for us. And it will, it is who the Spirit is. It will look good on us. It will be good and different. And what if our goal in all our communication was to speak highly of people when they weren't in the room? Because I think God does. What if your heart was to be positive about people and believing in people? And what if because of that belief in those people, we lovingly help each other caught in sin? What if you only said to them what would build them up? Let's do that. Let's be good at that. Let's not give any opportunity for our adversary. Right, don't, it says right in there, don't give the devil a foothold. Let's not do that, and let's raise the bar for how we talk about people. Let's pray. God, I realize James says the tongue is a restless evil. It can light the whole world on fire. God, I feel it. God, we feel it in our souls. Our tongue is a restless evil. Grant us the Spirit. Grant us the heart. God, to have love for you and for other people, conquer that which is a restless evil in us. Thank you. Thank you for James. And thank you for all the rough things he says. Lord, may you be God of my life. May I stay under your authority. May I be happy and content there. May you, God, I want you to be God in my life. I want you to get there for me and for these people.